I like that. I'm Chris Bowen, and I'm one of the assistant pastors here, and we just really welcome you to First Presbyterian Church. We pray that you will encounter our great God and King. And, you know, when they were singing that song, this afternoon, if you have some time or are interested, I would encourage you to read Revelation 4 and 5, which really shows a captivating picture of the throne room of God. And it's interesting, I was reading this while they were singing, and it said, and this is chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings and full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come.'" And I thought about this idea that they never cease to say. You know, we come into church each week and we gather and we sing praises to God. But if we had 10,000 times 10,000 years, we could never exhaust or extol or offer praise sufficient for who God is and what He's done. And so you may have done this a lot. But let's just say that we are just scratching the surface of who God is. And so we are grateful that you are here. In the left hand of your pew, there's a friendship register. If you would take that and sign it and then pass it to the person to your right. If you're a visitor, please write down your name and some information. We'd love to contact you to tell you a little bit about our church, to get to know you better. And how we might be able to serve you better. If you are a member of this church, and you just write that in there, and we'd love to know who you are so we can better serve you as well. This evening, we have a gathering at East Lake Academy from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. This gathering is for the purpose of putting a Bible history teacher at East Lake Academy. And there will be a free dinner, and the goal is to raise funds with like-minded individuals from around the city that want to see this teacher placed at this middle school. Tim will speak and Mel Medeiros will sing, and it will be a good time of fellowship and encouragement all around. If you have any questions about other announcements, we have written announcements that are out in the connector or in the back. Please pick up one of those and look at the various things that are going on at the church and pay close attention to some of the ministries that are involved that maybe you could serve with or be served by. Again, we delight that you are here, and we are grateful that you will worship with us today in spirit and truth.
Open all mine eyes. Shall see. Incline my heart, and I shall desire. Order my steps, and I shall walk in the ways of thy commandments. Open all my eyes. See you.
Would you please stand for our call to worship? In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to God. Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, the only trustworthy name in heaven and earth, and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would be poured out on us. Help us to worship you. Help us to worship Father, Son, and Spirit. You are incomprehensible. We will not fully know you in this time. You're too much for us. You're too big. You're too mighty. And we're too fallen, even restored through Christ. We cannot fully know you. So come, Holy Spirit, and help us. Fill us to overflowing. That the name of Jesus Christ would be lifted high in our hearts first, and then in this worship service together as your people. We make our morning prayer a prayer of adoration. For you're our great King. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Oh,
Our affirmation of faith is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 5. You'll notice in a moment you'll be speaking about how God has poured His love out into your heart. And He's done this through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been given to us. He's the one who convinces us of God's love for us. That's His work in our lives, and He's faithful to do it. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You may be seated. Well, you may not believe me, but being convicted of sin is a wonderful thing. It's wonderful to come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit who uses God's Word to convict us so that repentance may come, so that correction will take place. So restoration can be a normal part of our lives, restored in fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Take these moments as the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, to confess our sin, to acknowledge our sin before God, and receive and even celebrate the forgiveness we have in Christ.
Hear the promise of assurance of the new covenant of God's work. He tells His prophet, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Our great God and King, we thank you that you pursue us when we were lost. You comfort us when we are wounded in our souls for the guilt and shame of our sin. Lord, we are reminded that it's not our best efforts, our best attempts, or anything about us that makes us righteous, but that it's Jesus Christ who makes us right. And it's what He has done on the cross that satisfies the judgment of your wrath. So, Lord, may we be reminded of this. May its truths be written upon our hearts, and may you remind us in all the places we go, for we celebrate these things because of the one who every knee will bow and every tongue will confess as Lord. Is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I guess I need to say amen.
You were cutting that one short, weren't you? You heard that. Right, I know. Well, we're about to baptize Alexi and Braden and Thatcher. And so if the families could stand up here and the elders who are going to pray with them, please come right on up. If you'll stand on this side of the baptismal for me, everyone will get a better look at you. We baptized children in this church. We don't believe that they're going to be saved today. We don't believe that in baptismal regeneration. Don't believe it. Bible doesn't teach it. We believe that these children are being baptized into the covenant family. Not only into these two beautiful families, but into our family, the family of God. They're going to come under the privileges that come along with that. These moms and dads are going to take some vows, answer questions that basically say, hey, we're going to do our very best with the power of the Holy Spirit to place our children underneath the means of grace day in and day out in our family. And we as a congregation are going to say, we're going to help them. We're going to help them every way we know how. We're going to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And we believe one day, through the work of Christ, that these children will stand up before us and make a profession of faith. They will say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. He took away my sins. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit to convert them, to convince them. And so we come to this baptism with our faith in God. In God. And so as you're participating or watching, if you will, observing this sacrament, I want you to renew your faith in the Lord. Be strengthened in your faith and say, my only hope is what Christ has done for me, not what I do for myself. It's the work of Christ. I place my confidence in Him. And so I'm going to ask these questions of the families. I'll have the parents answer together here so that we can baptize these three all at the same time. So, do you acknowledge your child's need of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and the renewing grace of the Holy Spirit? Do you? And do you claim God's covenant promises on their behalf? And do you look in faith to the Lord Jesus for their salvation as you do for your own? Do you? And do you unreservedly dedicate your child to God and promise in humble reliance upon divine grace that you will endeavor to set before your child a godly example, that you will pray with and for them, that you will teach them the doctrines of our holy religion, and that you will strive by all means of God's appointment to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do you? And as a congregation, we commit as well. And so if you don't plan on fulfilling this, don't say that you do. This is something we say before God on behalf of these children, the members of this church committing to help raise these little ones. So do you as a congregation undertake the responsibility of assisting the parents in the Christian nurture of these children? If so, please answer, we do. Thank you. Father, name your child.
Thatcher.
David. This is Thatcher. Oh, Thatcher, I know. Thatcher, I'm sorry, bud. It's okay. It's okay. See? It's fine. Good boy. That was better. Thatcher, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Every time we baptize a baby, we're baptizing a miracle. But these two little ones in particular have been through a lot. Father, name this child.
Braden Thomas Canal.
Braden, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here you go, Mom. Father, name your child.
Alexi Harper Beth.
Hi, Alexi. Come on over here, sweetie. You can see Mom and Dad. They're right there. Alexi, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, let's go back. Let's go back. Traditionally, we have an officer of the church who knows the family well, offer prayers. So, brothers, if you'll do that for us.
Let's pray, please. Braden and Thatcher, Lord, we call out to you for them today, thanking you that they're here, thanking you that they are your creations, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that you've created them to do. Thank you for putting them in this family. Thank you for putting them in our church family. Lord, may they grow and see people joyously obeying you, making disciples, and just enjoying the presence of Jesus Christ. I pray that in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, through your Spirit, we thank you today for Josh, Amy, and their precious daughter, Alexi Harper Best. We rejoice that she is a child in the covenant. We pray that you will equip Josh and Amy to carry out their vows, and that someday she will make a decision of her own to choose you as her Savior. We pray that you will bless their marriage, and that seeing their love for one another, that she will learn of your love for her. Guard and protect this precious daughter of theirs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It is time as a family that we greet one another. And so I would just invite you to stand up and turn around to someone and greet them with a hearty handshake. And if you have children, dismiss in a moment. Delight to be with you all, and we're going to pray. And so, as you are returning your attention to the Lord, join with me in prayer. Lord, your loving kindness reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness extends to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountaintops, and your judgments are like a great deep. Lord, you preserve both man and beast, and how precious is your loving kindness. The children of men find refuge in the shadow of your wings, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Lord, it is a delight truly to be called your children. Lord, we are reminded of the beauties of your covenant family and the things that you are doing here in our midst. Lord, I pray that we would be mindful of how you care for us and love us and pursue us and are faithful when we are not. Lord, we know that some of us are in really, really good places. Some of us in not so good places. Some of us in not so good places, and others in just outright bad places. But Lord, you have promised to be with us and to never leave us or forsake us. And so I pray that you're through the ministry of your Spirit, you would be near to us. Lord, you would comfort those who are in financial duress or struggling emotionally or have other ailments that burdened them. Lord, for those who are not experiencing any of those things at this moment, I pray that you would be seen as the source of all good fortune that is coming to them. For you are. You are the author of these things. And so, Lord, I pray that they would rejoice in their good times and celebrate your work in their lives. Lord, now we pray for the church across the world and for the advancement of it, the advancement of your gospel to go to the four corners and to every tongue, tribe, and nation. Lord, that you would use these offerings for the advancement of your gospel, for the advancement of your glory, for the honor of your name. Lord, we pray that we would graciously and cheerfully return back to you a portion of what you have lavishly heaped upon us. Lord, it is a delight to do these things. And we ask, Lord, these things and immeasurably more for your own glory. We pray them in Jesus' name through the power of the Spirit. Amen.
Would you please stand for our scripture reading? Our scripture lesson today is found in the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 6 through 16. You're able to find that on page 953 in your pew Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, it's been said there's three kinds of people in the world: those who are good at math and those who aren't. The Bible teaches us clearly that the work of the Spirit is necessary for us to possess new life. In order for us to have new life, the Holy Spirit of God must rest upon and within us to bring us new life. It would be ludicrous for me to take Thatcher or Lexi in my arms, when they're 5 years old. Or what if they're 20 years old and I sat down and I said, "Hey, why did you choose your mom and dad?" And they would look at me. I said, "Well, why did you choose your ethnic background?" "No, I'm Scotch-Irish Cherokee." "You know what? Why did you choose your ethnic background?" They would look at me and go, "Wow, I don't even know how to answer that question. That question isn't even the right question." It's not the right question because it wasn't their choice. They didn't choose their mom and dad. They didn't choose their ethnic background. They were surely present at their birth. Conception and birth are not, it's not an autonomous activity. It's a miraculous work of God. That's what Paul is teaching here in this text. He's saying, apart from the Holy Spirit, you can't be regenerated. You can't be reborn. You can't have new life. There's only two kinds of people in the world: the natural man and the spiritual man. The natural man is a person who is without the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. They are incapable of receiving or understanding the work of God. Natural man possesses only the wisdom of the age. The natural person cannot accept the things of God. Look at verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned, because they may only be spiritually discerned. And so, Church of Christ, when we see somebody in their natural state in sin, we don't throw rocks at them. our hearts break for them. Because they've been captured by sin. They're a slave to sin. I don't care whether they're celebrating their sin. I don't care if they're walking around their campus proud of their sin. They're prisoners to sin. They're natural men and women who cannot discern the things of God. And so the church must be very careful when we address sinners. Whether they're sinners who are still in their natural state or sinners who've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Because to sin is a sign that we're under sin. To sin is a sign that we're prisoners to sin. Quite often the church kind of gets up on this high horse with some sort of arrogance that doesn't belong in the church and condemns sinners. Now, surely we must stand for the truth of God, but it's the Holy Spirit who brings conviction. Only the Holy Spirit can touch the heart of a natural man. And so our hearts are broken as they're surrounded by natural men and women in our offices, in our neighborhoods. Maybe in the pew next to you sits a natural man or woman, someone who has not been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They come here to church, and it seems to be the social thing to do in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But it certainly doesn't mean that they're regenerate, that they've been made new by the Holy Spirit. The second kind of person in the world is the spiritual person. This is one who has the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual people possess the wisdom of eternity. They possess the wisdom of our eternal God. The Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God, and we have the Spirit. Therefore, we have the mind of Christ. We're not mere men, but we're rather those men and women who've been made alive through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's actually quite humbling. It's quite humbling to be a sinner, just like the people who have not been regenerated. The difference is, the Spirit has worked in our hearts so that we understand the things of God. And we understand that we are declared righteous by the work of Jesus Christ, no merit of our own. So there are only two kinds of people in the world. The natural person who cannot understand the things of God, and the spiritual person who, by the work of the Holy Spirit, is now able to understand the things of God. Secondly, I want us to recognize, how does a natural person become a spiritual person? Right? I mean, that's the question. You're sitting out there listening. Even if you're a natural person, you haven't been renewed by the Spirit. Somewhere in your brain, you're like, well, I wonder what... I have an intellectual curiosity. What is it that Christians believe? What is it that they believe that moves a person from being a natural man to a spiritual man? Well, the only way this could happen is through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerates natural men and women and makes them spiritual men and women. To be generated is to be born. To be regenerated is to be born again. It's impossible for a person to pursue their own rebirth. Ephesians chapter 2 says it this way. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Oh, wait a minute. How could a dead person try to be born again? How could a dead person possibly try to get new life? They're dead. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. Following the prince of the power of the air. Wait a minute. So a natural man, the only wisdom they have is the course of this world. The only leader they have is the prince of the power of the air. In other words, the evil one. Goes on and says, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived. We all once lived. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins. There's no way we could be made new in and of ourselves. So it goes on and says that we too lived according to the passions of our flesh, our natural man, our sinful condition. We live according to those passions, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we're by nature, natural, by nature, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Listen to verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, a natural man cannot become a spiritual man. A natural woman cannot become a spiritual woman apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God broods or flutters or hovers over creation in Genesis 1-2. Remember, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, how He is the third person of the Trinity. So He's divine, He's God, He's transcendent, if you will. He's also personal, He's a person. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit who's holy. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, a person cannot become a spiritual person. And so rather than being angry and mocking and yelling at natural people for being sinners, our hearts are to be broken for them. We're to turn to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, would you please come and work in that person's life so that they would have new life in Jesus Christ? I'm talking about regeneration, this rebirth, this spiritual transformation where the Holy Spirit takes us from death to life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Regeneration, this new birth, is tied directly to something that theologians know as justification. If you look in Titus chapter 3, you'll see that regeneration and justification are inseparably linked. Titus 3, verse 5. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration. I've been talking about regeneration and renewal. Only the Holy Spirit brings renewal and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So when we are regenerated, the Holy Spirit gives us a new life. He actually applies the work of Jesus Christ to our life. He gives us a spiritual rebirth. The spiritual rebirth spoken of in John chapter 3 when Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and says, you won't see the kingdom of God if you're not born again. You must have a birth of water, a natural birth, but you must also have a spiritual birth. You must be born of water and of spirit. And so when we think about this as a Christian, it humbles us. It humbles us to think that God has done something for me that I could never do of for myself. In fact, I wouldn't even think of it. In John 6, verse 44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." A person can't come to God apart from the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So regeneration is tied directly to justification. When we are reborn in the Spirit, we're justified. What does it mean to be justified? For some of you, you see the word in the text here, this idea of justification there in Titus. What does it mean? Well, it has two parts for sure. It means that the sin which we have, we commit sin, and we actually have a sin nature. These are the things of a natural man. Christ takes those on himself. He takes our sin on himself. But that's only half the gospel. Many religious groups, and I'm using the term purposefully, religious groups, only know half the gospel. They think that Jesus has taken the sin away from them, but from that point on, they think they're on their own. Okay, well, Jesus died for my sins up to this point. Now I'm going to live the rest of my life and try to earn the rest of the way into heaven. That's the way many Christian religions teach. That's not justification. Justification, according to God's word, is that Jesus takes our sin away from us. He washes us. But he also gives to us his righteousness. So justification has two parts. Takes our sin away and gives us his righteousness. That's justification. This all takes place at our rebirth according to God's word. Well, so how does regeneration happen? You know, who does the regenerating? You know, in our service today, we have God's word. And you remember last week I talked about the means of grace. The primary means of grace, the primary way God gives his grace to his people is through the word of God, through the preached word of God, especially. Not because of the preacher or any particular power of the preacher, but there's the Holy Spirit present, and the Holy Spirit explains the word to the people who are listening. I can't tell you the number of times somebody has come up to me and accused me of reading their emails. I haven't read their email, but the Holy Spirit has. And the Holy Spirit can apply to you directly, specifically, something I might say generally, or I might say something in another category. Maybe I'm going to talk about lust, and you're thinking of that you're a thief or you're a liar. The Holy Spirit does that work. Ordinarily, people are regenerated through the Word of God, accompanied by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's one of the reasons Gideons exist, right? Gideons have placed Bibles all over the world, and I thank God for the Gideons ministry. Phenomenal. Sometimes you're someone's in a hotel room, and they're lonely, or they're discouraged, or the Spirit of God is resting on them, and they open a drawer, and there's a Yellow Pages, and there's a Gideon's Bible. And they read the Gideon's Bible. And the Holy Spirit accompanies that. If the Holy Spirit does not accompany God's word, it does not convert. There are many people who can quote Scripture. Doesn't mean they're Christians. There's many people who attend church. It just seems to be the cultural thing to do around here. Doesn't mean they're Christians. Doesn't mean they've been converted by the Holy Spirit. They might even have a sense of right and wrong. Doesn't mean they've been converted by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit must accompany the means of grace in order to make them, here's a big word, efficacious. What does that mean? Effective. So we had a baptism of three children. It's the work of the Spirit to convert those children. Their parents are going to do their best. I know Josh is going to read Bible stories, right? And that's what we do. We read to our children. We love our children. We bring them to church. But apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, the Word cannot convert a person. The Holy Spirit must accompany baptism. The Holy Spirit must accompany the means of grace for them to strengthen you in your faith. These are symbols. They are simply symbols. It's a little bitty cracker. It's probably the worst wine I've ever tasted. It's this little cup. It's great juice. They're symbols. They're symbols that spiritual people understand, and we believe. We believe that these symbols represent the life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we continue to do this until Christ's return. Okay, but how does it actually happen? How does it actually happen, Pastor? How do you go from a natural person to a spiritual person? Look in Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. We have these five I wills of God. Ezekiel 36:25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Some of you have already numbered these in your Bible. Let me help. Number one, God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be cleansed. I will cleanse you. I will clean you. Number two, I will give you a new heart. Who can give you a new heart? Who can give you a new spiritual heart? Only God can do this. I will put a new spirit within you. Number four, I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. What God is saying, I will take away this powerlessness and this enmity, this anger and strife you have. I'll take that away, and instead of being impotent, you will be powerful. Instead of being in enmity, you will have right relationship with me. Number five, I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. In the Hebrew, that's a causative verb. I will cause you. God will make you do this. The Spirit is the only way a person can come from being a natural person to a spiritual person. The Holy Spirit is this agent of action in our regeneration and also in our sanctification. He causes us to walk in a way that is honoring to God. Regeneration is something that happens to us. Regeneration is something that God does on our behalf. How could a dead person call out to God for salvation? You see, it's the work of the Spirit to awaken us. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He's caused us to be born again. Do you hear that? God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Philippians 1:6. Being convinced of this, He who started a good work in you will carry it on to perfection until the day of Christ. He who started this good work in you, justification, regeneration, will carry it on, sanctification, until the day of Christ, glorification. It's the work of God. And so, brothers and sisters, I challenge you to place your trust in God alone. And if you place your trust in God alone, it's not something that you have initiated. It's something that God has initiated, and you're responding to the work of God. Sometimes we think we pray in order to wake God up. Hey, I got stuff going on down here. Wake up! Do you know why we pray? We pray because God has awakened us. Do you know why we cry out to God and say, oh, God, save me? Because the Holy Spirit's bringing an awakening in us. He's renewing us. He's regenerating us. A dead person doesn't call on God to save them. A renewed person cries out and thanks God for their salvation. It's the work of salvation. Recently, I was with a group of pastors in the inner city. We were talking about how God has been moving in us. And I sat quietly. We're kind of the big kid on the block sometimes here in our city. A big church. We have a nice budget. We have a number of very gifted people. We bring a lot of resources to the table when we come to the table. And so I tend to sit quietly for a while and listen and learn from my brothers. They have so much to teach me. But after about the third person spoke, I just couldn't stay quiet any longer. These men of God have been called to mentor the children of our city, around our city. And I was like, well, imagine that. That God would move in a church and that they would go to elementary schools around our city and they would mentor the children. And one pastor talked about a school he goes to, one of the elementary schools, and he has to be careful on how he presents the gospel. And typically the gospel's presented after school hours and different activities. But he has a group that they've titled Gentlemen of Distinction. And the boys will talk to each other, and one of them will be acting up in class, and the boy will lean over and say, that's not how a gentleman of distinction carries himself. Right? They've got this standard, kind of calling each other up to follow God, to be godly boys who will become godly men. Well, how do these boys know anything about this? Because God put his calling on a man and sent him, and he told them. How do you know anything about God? God the Spirit moved in you. He came to you. He told you about the work of Christ. He told you about your sin. He told you that your only hope is through Jesus Christ. And you believed. And when you believed because the Holy Spirit had regenerated you. And you cried out to God and you said something like, oh, save me, or oh, God, I'm a sinner. You did that because of the work of the Holy Spirit. He's awakened you. He's given you a new life in Jesus Christ. And he's going to cause you to walk in God's ways all the days of your life. He will not let you go. No matter where you are, or what you're doing, or what you're not doing, the Holy Spirit will hold on to you if he's regenerated you. If he's justified you through the work of Jesus Christ. And so our hope is a great hope. Our hope is a great hope because our hope is in the all-sufficient, completed work of Jesus Christ. And we can only believe that through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so when you come to this table, you come as a spiritual person. You come as a person who said, yeah, I believe that. If you are a natural person, I would ask you not to partake of this table. You will be lying. You don't believe it. You're a natural person. You're governed by the spirit of this age. You're not governed by the Holy Spirit. There's only two kinds of people in the world. A natural person who cannot understand the things of God apart from the work of the Spirit, and a spiritual person who's been regenerated through the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit have touched your life, and you believe, and you celebrate, and you look forward to Jesus Christ's return. And He's causing you to walk in His ways. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And He will do it. He will do it. Let's pray together. Father, our faith is in You. Jesus, our faith is in You. Holy Spirit, our faith is in You. In fact, our faith is from You. You've given us faith. You've caused Your will to work in our hearts, according to Ephesians 2. You're working out salvation through us, according to Philippians 2. You're the great God. We're spiritual people because You made us spiritual people. Holy Spirit, for those upon whom You're brooding, who are natural men and women, even in this room or under the sound of my voice, I ask, Holy Spirit, that You would go into them and that You would cleanse them and that You would give them a new heart and that You would cause them to walk with You. And Lord, for those of us who have this Holy Spirit within us, continue Your brooding, Your hovering, Your fluttering. Continue to make us new. Continue to convince us that the spirit of the age is a lie. And You are the only true. You're the only true Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Teach us to hear Your voice. Teach us to follow You. Thank You. Thank You for Your faithfulness. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, Amen. If you would please take your bulletin and stand, we're moving to the ministry of the table. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let's give thanks to the Lord our God.
Pray. Father, as we prepare ourselves to come to this table, Lord, we know that it is one that You have prepared for us. And Lord, this table, as it is ordinary elements, points forward to extraordinary realities. The reality of the marriage supper of the Lamb, to which all Your people will be invited to and sit at the table and feast upon. And so, Lord, as we are not yet there, Lord, we pray that this table would be a sweet reminder of Your work. And You would give us Your grace through remembering who You are and what You've done. And how You have called us by name and set us apart. And have even now continued to work to prepare the realities of the fullness of salvation for Your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. The words of institution prepare us to come to the Lord's table, but they also instruct us. They instruct us in a number of ways. One is that these elements have no magical power. They They represent, they physically represent the spiritual presence of God with us. There's no efficacy, there's that big word again, in the one who administers the elements. The Holy Spirit accompanies the elements. And we feed on God by faith. Our faith is in God. Our faith is strengthened as we partake of these elements until Jesus returns. Also, some of the instructions related to the table are to keep natural people away from participating in the table. If you're someone who hasn't been regenerated, you haven't made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, then this table is only for those who are spiritual people, people who have been regenerated. Paul counsels and instructs us in 1 Corinthians, you're not to partake of this table. It's for your protection. It's not something that we do that is judgmental against you, for only you can judge your own heart. It's something we do to protect you. And so, those of us who are spiritual people, no merit of our own, nothing we've done, the work of Jesus Christ applied to us by the Holy Spirit. He's given us new life. We're invited to partake of this table. You don't have to be a member of First Presbyterian Church. Maybe you're a college student and you live in another place and your church is in another city. Maybe you're a visitor with us today. You're welcome to partake of this table. If you're a spiritual person, if you've been made new through the work of the Holy Spirit, this is the Lord's table. It's for you. Feed on Him by faith in your heart. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit delight in making you righteous. They delight in declaring you justified through their work on your behalf. On the night that the Lord was betrayed, He took bread, and after giving thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body given for you. Take and eat." And likewise, after the supper, He took the cup, said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in My blood. Take and drink. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you show forth My death until My return." You see, spiritual people believe that Jesus is going to return. And He's going to return and He's going to gather us. And as Pastor Chris said, this looks forward to a wonderful feast we'll have in heaven. And so this is a time of celebration for God's people. We celebrate what Christ has done and what the Holy Spirit has made new in us so that we believe. If the officers will come forward, we'll serve you the bread. Christ's body for you. Thank you. The body of Christ given for you, take and eat. Such a little symbol, but such a meaningful work of Christ. And now we'll serve the cup. Thank you. This is the blood of Christ given for us. Take and drink. If you'll please stand for the benediction. I just remind you tonight at 5 or this afternoon at 5 we have the gathering over at East Lake. We hope to, along with other Christians in the area, to raise enough money to place a teacher in East Lake Academy who will teach the Bible. So it's very exciting. And now turn your face toward home and hear this good word. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace both now and in the life everlasting. Amen.